Welcome back to the Roundtable. I'm Ian Pickus. Even before Donald Trump had officially sewn up the White House last night, markets were reacting with volatility. What does the Republican stunning victory over Hillary Clinton mean in the short term? And what about his policies once he takes office? Joining us now is economist Hugh Johnson of Hugh Johnson Advisors. Welcome back to the Roundtable.
It's great to be with you.
First of all, what's your reaction to the results of last night?
I'm like everybody else. It was a big surprise. I listened to the pundits. I listened to the polls. And I was taken in by them, and I expected that Secretary Clinton was going to win. And obviously that didn't happen, and it was a big surprise. And, the response of the financial markets globally, the U.S. futures markets, indicates the magnitude of the surprise. It wasn't just me that was surprised. Everybody was surprised.
What do you chalk it up to?
The surprise, I think, is first of all, Secretary Clinton, to some extent, represented continuity and stability, a continuation of the Obama administration policy, so not much change. And investors always feel comfortable when there's not much change. And obviously, President-elect Trump represents significant change. We're not dead sure what changes, but we know he represents probably some significant changes down the road. And so when you talk about changes, you're talking about uncertainty, you're talking about the lack of continuity, and investors just don't feel comfortable with that, and so they sell stocks, worrying about what the impact of his policies will be on the economy and the earnings of the companies that they're invested in.
Speaking about the market volatility last night, what were some of the ways that manifested itself?
It manifested itself. First of all, the surprise, of course, the decline in the markets itself. The futures down 800 points at one point. You also see it, though, in the performance of individual sectors. Interesting to see some companies that do business with Mexico are down sharply. Other companies in the same business are up sharply because they don't do business with Mexico. They do business with the U.S. pharmaceutical stocks, which will no longer have Secretary Clinton really worrying them about pricing policies. Pharmaceutical stocks, healthcare stocks, especially not just pharmaceuticals generally, but biotechnology stocks up sharply. Hospital stocks on the same vein down sharply. Defense stocks, which will benefit from a Trump presidency, they were up very, very sharply. So you saw not just the markets down, but you saw within the markets, you saw the markets sorting out who are going to be the winners and the losers. And as time went on, we saw that very sharp decline in the stock market, that overreaction, that big knee-jerk reaction, start to play out and really, really start to modify, to moderate. And that's because everybody, when they kind of woke up, said, look, yes, I understand that President-elect Trump is going to represent change, but that change, given Washington and the way it works, is not going to occur anytime soon. It's going to take time to get legislation passed through the Congress, even though the Congress is Republican. And after the legislation is passed, it takes time before it impacts the economy. It's probably unlikely that anything he does is going to significantly impact the economy or earnings of corporations before 2018. It'll take a long time. And that's why people started to relax a little bit. And the futures markets, which were down, as I mentioned, 800, came back fairly sharply.
You've just described what's happened in the short term here. How does this compare with other quote-unquote change elections that you've witnessed over the years in the hours after?
I don't think I've ever seen an election that represented as much change as this one. We've gotten plenty of change from, say, Clinton to Bush, where there was significant change in philosophy and ideology, change from the Democratic ideology of Clinton into the Republican ideology of George Bush. We got a change from Clinton, who had significant political experience, to George Bush, who really didn't have as much. Of course, he had Dick Cheney, who helped him through working with inside of Washington, inside the Beltway. I don't think we've ever seen any change as significant as this, or it seems to be. The perception is, and it's just perception now, where the change is going to be as much as this change is. We're talking about a person who has not had a lot of experience in politics. So you cross your fingers and you hope he puts together a staff, particularly a chief of staff, who knows his way around Washington. And that way, a person with very limited political experience like President-elect Trump will be able to get some things done with the Congress, and that we'll start to see things happen in 2017 and have them impact the economy and companies and the global economy in 2018. Hopefully they're good things.
What about the relationship with Mexico?
Based on everything he said, the relationship with Mexico is not good. He's talked about trade policy being imbalanced, that he's going to be tougher on trade with Mexico. NAFTA is singled out as time and time again by President-elect Trump as being the worst trade deal that we've ever done. So I presume he's going to try to get something done there, but he will get something done on trade policy with Mexico, but it won't be nearly as significant as he suggested in the in his campaign. There'll be some small things that'll be accomplished. And, of course, he talks about building the wall, and they're going to pay for the wall. I'm just a skeptic. I just say, let's wait and see what happens there. Obviously, our relationship with Mexico is probably not going to be improving. It's probably going to be deteriorating, and hopefully he has the ability for it to change and to deteriorate, but only very, very slightly. Things have gotten better with Mexico over time, and hopefully he doesn't get in the way of that improvement.
We're speaking with economist Hugh Johnson of Hugh Johnson Advisors. As we speak, it's fairly early in the traditional trading day. What will you be watching for as we go through the afternoon here on the day after?
Well, we were pretty optimistic about buying. We were hoping to buy them a little bit lower when we came to work today. But I'm going to be obviously watching, not only watching the market, hopefully it holds together. I think it will, because I think investors are realizing that they don't change their forecast for the economy, for earnings, for the stock market, for interest rates. Nothing's going to change very significantly over the course of the next 6 months, maybe even to a year. So I think people realize that. And so we look for the markets to kind of hold together today. And then we watch individual sectors for sort of a more specific statement about who are going to be the winners and the losers under a Clinton presidency. And that's why I mentioned, defense stocks, you see them doing well. You see pharmaceuticals doing well because they won't be hurt by pricing problems with Secretary Clinton. You see the biotechnology stocks doing extremely well. You see the financial stocks doing well because they might have less regulation. We've been talking about Dodd-Frank legislation being a real problem, so the financial stocks are rallying because there's the expectation that we'll see maybe Dodd-Frank, but a watered-down Dodd-Frank. So I'm going to be watching all the individual sectors, all the individual industry groups in the market, to see what investors collectively believe is going to happen to the economy and earnings in general, but what's going to happen to individual sectors of the U.S. economy. Going to watch very carefully. Investors usually get this right, and that's why it's important to pay close attention to what the markets are telling you.
What can we learn from recent other disruptive votes globally, like what happened with the Brexit vote?
I think what you learn is the one thing you should learn is the case of Brexit. Remember, we had a sharp decline in response to that big surprise, and we had a sharp decline in the futures overnight in response to the Trump victory. But you can see that in the case of Brexit, and hopefully this case, that the markets sprang back. They recovered. And not only did they recover, but they continued up. Not only did the economy or the markets in Britain continue to improve or rise after the Brexit hysteria got put behind us, but also forecasts for the UK economy, they were brought down immediately, very significantly. But they've been improving. They've been increasing ever since that initial emotional reaction. And the lesson from that, which is so important, is don't get caught up in the kind of some sort of an emotional response, almost bordering on hysteria, in response to any of these surprises, because it's almost invariably a mistake. You end up selling at the wrong time. You end up buying at the wrong time. It's a terrible mistake. So try to be objective. Try to be cold-hearted in your approach. Try to be disciplined in your approach, and just don't get caught up in the emotional day-to-day surprises and swings that come as a result of those surprises.
Let me just ask you a big picture question as we're doing the postmortems on this election. Mm-hmm. Part of the narrative is that the voters who really spoke for Donald Trump on Tuesday were a disaffected white working class that mm-hmm. feels left behind. Now, heading into the election, a lot of economic indicators seem to show things more or less on the right track in terms of unemployment, job growth, and so on. So How valid do you think those concerns have proven to be?
Yeah, they're really valid. And the reason they're valid is this, is because we not only talk about the economy is improving, and I think if you look at the numbers, they are, the economy is improving. But we also talk about inequality, and there's sort of the haves and the have-nots. And it's not as though everybody has been a part of this recovery. Many people have not been a part of the recovery. You know, he touched on some really important things. There are a lot of people that lost their jobs because, you know, companies were outsourced. Companies were moved to Mexico and to China, and trade deals were done which were not particularly favorable. Incidentally, a lot of that's behind us, and a lot of that's really on the mend right now. But nevertheless, there are people that are sitting at luncheonettes in Ohio, and they're out of jobs, and they lost their jobs because the companies moved to Mexico. And they're the have-nots. That's where the income inequality argument comes from. And it's a very valid argument, and something has to be done to help those people. So that's why you get this dichotomy between an economy which has good numbers, not good, not great, but okay numbers, is improving, is expanding, and then at the same time you get a lot of workers that have been, quite frankly, left behind. And income inequality is a real issue.
So I think you alluded to this earlier, but last question is, Trump has been talking a lot about, you know, renegotiating trade deals and bringing manufacturing back and giving the American worker a fresh start. I mean, how confident are you that any of those campaign goals can be realized here?
Well, they are being realized. There's a lot of, you know, the differential between wages that are paid in China and wages paid in the U.S. used to be very wide. It's not that wide anymore because wage rates have gone up in China. So a lot of, you're not going to see the number of companies that are going to start to shift jobs to Mexico and China. You're not going to see that anymore. So that's already on the mend, let's put it that way. And that's good news. The trade deals, there's no question that a lot of them are going to get renegotiated, or a lot of them are going to be taken off the table. The I don't know how you say it, TPIP, how you ever say it, the trade deals with
TPP,
Asia will probably
sure.
be off the table. And what we're going to see is we'll still see trade deals, but they're going to be a lot different trade deals. They're going to be a little bit softer, and they'll have less of a negative impact on the U.S. economy. So things are really headed in the right direction, but that's not to say, even though we're going to get better trade deals, and we all hope, and I cross my fingers, we don't get the kind of tariffs that we saw during the 1930s, because that would be a real disaster. But if we get good trade deals from this point forward, if we get the wage differentials start to close, we get fewer companies taking their companies to other parts of the world, which I think is on the way, that's really good progress, and I think we're going to see that progress. But that's not to say that a lot of workers will continue to be left behind. It's you know, the miners that President-elect Trump promised that we would put back to work. That's not going to happen overnight, believe me. That's not probably not good policy, and it's not going to happen overnight. There's still going to be a lot of people that are going to be in luncheonettes bemoaning the fact that their companies are in other parts of the world and they can't get jobs. That's unfortunate.
Economist Hugh Johnson of Hugh Johnson Advisors, who joins us on WAMC from time to time on this very most interesting day after Election Day. Thank you so much for your time.
You're certainly welcome.
And you're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.